Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Crypto 101 podcast, where we talk about all things cryptocurrency. And man, we have a very special episode in store for all of you, because today we get to dive into one of the most anticipated and talked about genres in crypto, which has very quickly just exploded onto the scene, it feels like, over the last year or two. But we get to talk about RWAs, which stand for Real World Assets and Tokenization. And in order to do this, we wanted to bring in one of the leaders in the space, one of the pioneers who is building the backbone of this industry, Justin Bannon, who is the co-founder of Boson Protocol. So Justin, welcome, and it's great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Brendan. Great to be here.
Yeah, I mean, man, it really does feel like this genre, this industry of tokenization has exploded onto the scene. And we're going to dive all into it in today's podcast episode. But it's so interesting because it did start out very crypto native. And now you have just about every single major traditional financial institution wanting to be a part of this, right? I mean, we've seen BlackRock and Bank of America and Citi and JP Morgan, so many others start publishing their own individual reports. And some of them are even deeper than that, as we've seen with the BlackRock Biddle Fund. But, you know, before we get into the weeds, I just want to know about you. You know, let us know how you got started in crypto in the first place, and I guess what you found interesting about blockchain technology.
Sure. Well, I mean, I started out kind of doing a physics degree and being kind of really kind of geeky into how things work. And but somehow I started working for a company that were basically creating like vouchers for physical things, actually like airport lounges. And I started working for them, and I thought, well, you know, what would happen if you digitize, instead of having paper and plastic vouchers, you create digital vouchers. And so I did like a master's in digital, did this whole digital transformation, and turned this company from like around a $50 million company to about $1 billion digital platform that was basically creating digital vouchers for things all across the travel space. I mean, for my sins, I then thought, well, okay, let's get a bit deeper into this kind of like whole notion of like business models and stuff. And I heard about crypto, and I did this second master's in crypto. And I realized that like the next stage was not just digitizing these things, it was going to be to tokenize these things. And so, you know, kind of really kind of got down that rabbit hole. But instead of staying at that company and thinking, okay, well, how do I let me now move to tokenizing, I founded Boson Protocol as a platform for tokenizing physical things as NFTs.
So when you first found out about RWAs and this new thing called tokenization, was it just because you had this business background and this interest to maybe kind of like bridge the gap? Or was it maybe a project or something that you saw happened, you know, outside of your research, maybe something that came to you?
Well, I mean, we started Boson about 4 years ago. So at the time, the phrase like real world assets and stuff wasn't even really a phrase. I mean, we happened to be one of the OG projects that, you know, built this core protocol for tokenizing physical things, tokenizing trading physical things before this new like zeitgeist for real world assets. You know, it's taken us a couple of years to kind of build that out fully. And now that, you know, the protocol is like kind of product complete with a dApp suite and stuff, and, you know, we're moving to kind of the whole mass adoption stage.
Yeah. And I guess we should, you know, properly introduce the concept of RWAs and tokenization before we go any further, because, you know, just as many people are out there and maybe they have looked into this and they are familiar with it. I'm sure there's listeners as well that are going, what in the world is an RWA and this thing called tokenization? So how can you, I guess, introduce that concept to people who have never heard of it before?
So, I mean, real world assets is a kind of slightly loose catch-all term. So let me kind of break that down. If you think about there is a certain class of asset, like, you know, fiat, like money, like equity, like debt, etc. that currently live off chain. So we call them like real world assets. But all of those assets can be completely moved on. I mean, at the moment, what's happening is a lot of them are being sort of represented on chain, but still they're kind of living off chain. But all of those things can be just complete. You can get rid of the paper, you can get rid of the databases, and you can just originate those assets on chain, right? So, you know, debts within DeFi, central bank digital currencies, instead of, you know, having either paper or like normal digital money, all of those things, equity, you know, you don't need share certificates, you don't need a database of shareholders. You can put that directly on a blockchain. All of those sort of assets can be transferred on chain. And so that's like one class of real world assets. But there's another class of real world assets, physical assets, that have what we kind of call like this physical residue, right? So like share certificates and fiat money can be completely transferred on chain. So there's nothing off chain. It's all on chain. But your car, your house, you know, a gold bar, a luxury watch, a yacht, all of these things will always have what we call a physical residue, right? That, so although you can represent these things on chain, that the physical element needs to be settled. And that creates a sort of quite unique challenge in how you ensure that if I hold a token, if I've got a token that says, okay, I own this physical asset, you know, if you're using blockchain technology, then that should be more than an IOU. That should be what we call a strong commitment. If I hold this token, I should either get that asset or the money back. And that's the key property that we need to ensure with physical assets. Yeah. So, yeah. So you can sort of segment real world assets into like these either natively on chain assets like cryptocurrencies, transferable on chain assets like fiat, equity, and stuff. All of that stuff eventually will just be on-chain assets. And then you've got physical assets, which will have some tokenized representation on chain, but you have to always settle off chain. Yeah.
And I mean, it really seems like the appeal here is through creating liquidity, right? You know, I always see these headlines that say tokenization can create, or rather unlock, trillions of dollars in liquidity. And because of that, you know, we see all these really large goals for the tokenization industry thrown around, saying of, hey, this could be a multi-trillion dollar industry in the next, you know, 10, 20 years, maybe even sooner than that, because of the potential that this can have to disrupt the traditional financial industry. And I think you gave some great examples. When you look at some of these physical, or rather illiquid assets that you can't break down into a number of shares, right? You look at a property, a high value car, or anything like that, that can't be fractionalized traditionally speaking. And then you introduce it to blockchain, where you can fractionalize it and you can unlock liquidity and it can do a lot of these things. And that appeals to a lot more investors, right? You think about how many people may have access to something if it's a physical asset across the world that costs $10 million.
Yeah.
Your target audience is a lot smaller. Then all of a sudden you give that global access, you fractionalize it, and then the pool could double, triple, quintuple, maybe even more than that. Maybe the pool of access to those people because of tokenization increases 100-fold. And I think that that's one of the big appeals to tokenization in RWAs. Now, you mentioned that there's a couple different classes here. So can you walk us through what specifically Buzan likes to work with when it comes to those classes of tokenization and RWAs?
Sure. So we deal with physical assets. So, you know, we, for example, you know, whether those are kind of commerce items, we've worked with brands like Tommy Hilfiger tokenizing their sort of like luxury assets. We've just done a big deal with a gallery called Super Chiefs, tokenizing over sort of $5 million worth of art. And so, you know, 85 pieces of unique art from lots of well sort of recognized artists, and again, so tokenizing that, providing this sort of liquidity, but also, I mean, a good a good way to think about what blockchain tokenization tokenization brings is, you know, if you look at the commodity markets for kind of sugar, coal, cocoa, or these physical assets are traded digitally all over the world, and transactions ping around from, like, you know, kind of Tokyo to Chicago. I mean, those markets are already online digital markets. What tokenization is saying is, what happens if every physical thing is digitally represented and can be transferred in that liquid, in that sort of liquid instant way? And one of the other sort of things I kind of do is I do quite a bit of research on blockchain and sort of blockchain economics and stuff. And I co-wrote a paper with the blockchain economist, Professor Jason Potts, on the, you know, what blockchains bring to the economy is what we call a computable economy. When everything is digital and everything is online and can be pinged around using, you know, kind of computable rules, the whole nature of the economy changes from, you know, at the moment you go, you buy stuff, there's all of this kind of friction and written agreements and courts and refunds and all of this. Once everything's on chain, that just gets automated and becomes like computable, right? It's like data pinging around a computer. So the immediate impact is, yeah, liquidity, reduced friction, etc. But the long-term impact is just an entirely new, what we call kind of a new economic order to this kind of computable economy.
And that should produce a lot of clarity as well. If everything's being run on chain, I would imagine that the result of that is just a lot more clarity and insights in the data. And to a lot of these companies that are running those trades, especially when it comes to commodities, I would even go further than that. Say any kind of company, the more data that they can get, the more efficient and effective they become, the more money they can save and utilize, and they see where they're wasting and spending, what's taking longer, what's taking shorter, where things went good, where it went bad. And I feel like that results in almost like a win-win, where the everyday person gets more clarity. And then the companies get, as a result of that, more data about the nuances of the very job that they're running.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely clarity, but also certainty. I mean, the reason we call it a computable economy is because these kind of economic sort of programs or transactions are like deterministic, right? You run them again and again. It's like putting 2 + 2 in a calculator. Again and again, it comes out as 4. These transactions, once they're represented on these like immutable blockchains, you can rely on them. And a good example of that is, you know, during the last crash, where lots of people were defaulting on different loans and positions, what you found was that people were preferentially defaulting on centralized institutions and renegotiating their debt. They weren't defaulting on their, you know, maker positions and DeFi positions, because these things are immutable. If you drop below, you know, your kind of, you know, collateral level, you know, you're going to get liquidated. And so it's, yeah, absolutely, clarity and certainty are these, and that leads to, you know, much higher efficiency.
Yeah, I mean, it's powerful stuff. And what a lot of this leads to is a term that I know you all like to use a lot, called a decentralized economy, or just decentralized commerce. So can you walk us through, I guess, what you envision inside of decentralized commerce?
Sure. I mean, look, the fundamental kind of problem that Boson solves is, I mean, Boson has been built to be the base layer for decentralized commerce. So, and what that means is, whenever two parties want to perform some sort of commercial exchange for a physical asset, they've got a couple of problems they need to solve. And one of them is this kind of what we call the fair exchange problem. How do I know if I send the money, I'm going to get the item? And if, you know, the seller sends the item, how do they know they'll get the money? And so one way of solving that is both parties trusting each other. But no, that's not always, you know, it's expensive to trust each other, and that's not always the case. So often you put these intermediaries and brokers and people in the middle, and both parties trust the intermediary, right? But we know what intermediaries do. They use their market power to charge outsized profits, which reduces the efficiency, et cetera. So with Boson, the question was, is it possible to solve that problem, to enable fair exchange using just code? And that's what we succeeded in doing. I mean, we got like World Economic Forum, technology pioneer status, because it's a kind of major breakthrough. I mean, I should know, my kind of being pretty decentralized, my kind of political slant is quite opposite to World Economic Forum. But hey, they recognize this huge breakthrough. So Boson provides this base layer where we tokenize physical, a seller can come, bring an asset, tokenize that asset on the protocol. And then a buyer, if they come and buy that asset, they will get a token, they will get like an NFT that represents the underlying asset. But the really important thing is that NFT, it's not like a promise that can be defaulted on by the seller. There is a strong commitment, a blockchain DeFi level commitment, that either they get the underlying physical asset or they get their money back. And all of that is provided by a protocol that, because it's decentralized, it can't be evil, right? It's like it's governed by the users and the community, so that everyone can build on top of that and trust that. And what we're seeing a lot of now is a whole ecosystem being built on top of Boson, because anyone can use it and everyone can trust it.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. I mean, it really shows. And I think a great example of this was even a couple of years ago when we were having some issues with DeFi. Most of the quote unquote DeFi that we saw affected was the centralized side of DeFi. Yeah. When you look at a lot of those truly decentralized protocols that are immutable or have immutable aspects, they're the ones who are fine. Because like you said, things can't be tampered with. And the people who couldn't pay or update their loans or their positions, well, they were margin called, they were wiped. And the people who were fine. And that's why we didn't see nearly the same kind of issue with the true decentralized nature of DeFi. And it was only where we introduced more TradFi, I guess, positions or technology. And that's where we saw the real issue. It's almost like we haven't learned our lesson,
Crypto
was created out of 2008. And we tried to introduce some of that technology and some of those theories into this decentralized tech. And we run into the same problem when a very similar circumstance arises.
Yeah. And I think in real world assets, we will go through exactly the same cycle. There are lots of very centralized real world asset tokenization platforms. I encourage all of them, by the way, because I think, by growing the space of tokenization, we grow the pie for everyone. But it's a lesson that will be learned. I mean, one of the fundamental reasons we use blockchains rather than just, computer systems is because they can give us these strong commitments where we don't have to have the counterparty risks. We don't have to have these kind of extractionary intermediaries. But there's a lot of adoption by the big banks, big money managers, etc., of investing in platforms to tokenize real world assets. And I think that's pretty natural. I mean, there's also lots of entrepreneurs that are building real world asset tokenization platforms. There's some French guy in France who's been doing real estate for 20 years. He's building a real estate protocol. There's Miguel in Mexico who knows, he's been trading tequila for 20 years. He's building a tequila tokenization protocol. And so one of the reasons, the roles of Boson is providing this neutral, general purpose technology that these sort of entrepreneurs, instead of going and building their own, can go and pick up this technology and build safely on top of it, because it's decentralized. It's not a predatory platform like a kind of, Facebook or X that is one day going to turn evil and start charging 30%, right? And so that's the whole principle of decentralized infrastructure.
Yeah, all of this kind of raises a good question. At least it stirs my brain. Like, what do you think about all these TradFi entities, like we mentioned earlier, the BlackRocks, the Bank of Americas, the Citibanks, the JP Morgans, and all these other major players that are now showing interest in the tokenization space? Do you view it as a good thing because this is bringing a lot of attention and potentially capital with it? Or do you view it as a negative thing, maybe where it's like the TradFi entities that are trying to take market share back because they clearly see that there's value in something like this?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's great. I don't believe it's the eventual direction that we will end up. And, you know, if you look at the history of technology adoption, this happens over and over again. And, you know, that kind of first master's I did was a big slug of this kind of technology adoption. And if you look at, you know, if you look at where technology has disrupted other industries, whether it's like the media industry with like newspapers and, you know, the size of newspaper publishing has shrunk massively. Initially, those newspaper publishers were like the first people to do kind of media websites, right? But now they've been massively disrupted by this, you know, kind of more natively online media. And that's just like one example. But, I think also it's natural for these banks, et cetera, to start adopting this technology. But of course, I mean, they're doing it for the interoperability, transparency, the efficiency and all of these things. But of course, what they're not adopting is the fact that this technology can actually, you know, doesn't need them, right? And so the massive amounts of market control and extraction from all parties that they charge, this technology can actually kind of do it all without them. And that's its kind of killer feature. So I think it's brilliant that they're all coming in because, you know, there's a lot of investment coming into the space, a lot of legitimacy with, you know, different sellers and issuers when you've got these big trusted brands coming in. This is a legitimate thing to be doing. And then as people dig deeper into it, they're like, okay, well, I can save 30% by using this, you know, decentralized infrastructure that's super robust and, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that makes sense. And a lot of people are going to look at that as well. I think even the builders, like the developers, the coders are going to look at this. And the ones who really care and have the experience, I think very few of them are going to look and say, you know who I want to go work and build this for is BlackRock.
Yeah.
I think the ones who really care are either going to build their own deal like you are, or they're going to go work for a project that is doing this and that is truly decentralized. And I see them kind of either having to train their own people or get a generation that just isn't as, that doesn't really care about the fundamentals of it as much. But, you know, in the last 4 years now, you know, I'm sure you've seen a lot of this space change. And I'm curious to just see or hear from you, like what some of the biggest, most significant developments have been when it comes to the RWA and tokenization space over the last couple of years.
Well, I mean, it's definitely the big centralized finance institutions jumping in, right? It's great for the industry, you know, Bitcoin ETFs, BlackRock getting involved, you know, Larry Fink saying all assets will be tokenized. This is opening the door to mass adoption, and then the technology will disrupt everyone, right?
Yeah.
We have been in this sort of industry for quite a while now, and you know, we're not afraid of mass adoption and compete. We built a technology that is massively disruptive to centralized finance. The thing we fear the most is people not adopting, not using, not being interesting, and technology taking another path. That isn't happening. So bring it on. You know, this technology was designed to disrupt and return profit and control to the people.
So do you think that we have the infrastructure in place right now for mass adoption, like borderline global adoption? Because that's something that I've seen people bring up, especially not necessarily when it comes to tokenization, but in the past, we've seen people say, or I've seen people say, oh, Bitcoin's ready for mass adoption, or Ethereum's ready for mass global adoption. And I think you have to look at them and say, well, you know, I don't know if Bitcoin necessarily has the infrastructure on its layer one, you know, main chain to support everyone's global transactions for everything. And I think that's why we look at, you know, layer twos and other things. And I think Bitcoin can be globally used, but to run every form of every technology and every transaction across everything, you know, I think that there can be, you know, maybe different kinds of infrastructure for that. And that's why we see projects focus on different things, is because it's like, hey, that project, they focus on RWAs. This project focuses on privacy. That project focuses on an aspect of DPIN. This project focuses on gaming, and so on and so forth, right? We have, and then we just have infrastructure layers, right? We have all these different layer ones. We have all these different layer twos. Some are faster and more efficient. And I don't want to rabbit trail too much, but it kind of wraps back to the single question of, do you think that the current state of tokenization in RWAs is ready for mass adoption?
So, I mean, we're going, just going back to your Bitcoin example, I don't think Bitcoin is ever going to be used. And, you know,
yeah,
Bitcoin maxes will kind of flame me for this. I don't believe Bitcoin's ever going to be used for buying, you know, a kind of pint of milk or your groceries. And you know, I know that, you know, there are technologies that aim to do that. But Bitcoin as a reserve currency, the infrastructure for mass adoption is here. It's Bitcoin ETFs, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, our parents' generation can go and put, just speak to their financial advisor and go and put 5% of their net worth into Bitcoin. And there's no technology barrier. And so I think for that core use case, it's there. For real world assets, it's there in patches. I mean, it's taken us 3 years to build out two major iterations to build out a protocol, a full decentralized application. And that's been hard. Now, you know, Boson is product ready. And, you know, we've never actually been product complete and in a bull market. The last bull market we had, we were on V1 and we were kind of like, you know, having to kind of, you know, strap stuff together to, you know, but this time it's kind of product complete. And so what we're doing is plugging into these scaled distribution channels. So for example, we've done a major strategic partnership with WooCommerce, which is like the largest e-commerce platform on the planet, 4 million stores worldwide, where all of those stores can now just drag and drop, enable like decentralized commerce from their WooCommerce store with this Boson integration app. There's another protocol being built on top of Boson protocol called Fermion, which adds a layer of verification and custody for high value items like gold bars, diamonds, luxury items, real estate and commodity, all with using the underlying Boson infrastructure, you know, earning fees and transactions on Boson, but with this added layer there.
Yeah.
We're doing integrations with Roblox, where 200 million users that are currently in Roblox brands can now monetize those Roblox activations, so people can, you know, can kind of buy physical items, you know, by, you know, connecting with Roblox. And we're also going to build this whole basically open sea for physical real world assets kind of marketplace as well. So, you know, the core infrastructure we've built, we're plugging into all of these scaled distribution channels. And so, yeah, I mean, we are 75% of the way there. And I think, you know, for once, the market timing is great for us in that, you know, we're kind of building this into a bull market. So, you know, and that's where decentralized commerce is. I think a lot of the other real world assets, I mean, we started 4 years ago. A lot of the others have started a bit later, and maybe that, you know, they're kind of maybe a year or so behind. But, you know, this is kind of decentralized technology. So a lot of the technology is open source. It's composable. People can borrow and build. And, you know, things are moving very fast in the space. So, no, it's not complete. But, you know, we're a lot further ahead than we were the last cycle. And I think, you know, once this bull market hits, the infrastructure is there to cope with mass adoption this time.
Yeah, well, that was exactly the answer I was looking for, because basically what you said was, not only are we ready for this, we're already doing it. And you gave all those just amazing examples. And the thing that I liked about that is it, it was all in so many different verticals. I mean, you mentioned Roblox, you mentioned precious metals, you mentioned all these different things. I mean, we were talking about commodities earlier and real estate. And there's so many different ways that this can be used, which is so exciting. And the scalability aspect, it's not only like you're building towards it, it's already here and you're already implementing this. And I'm super excited to see what this stuff does do inside of like a very bull market environment, because all eyes are starting to turn over here. And there's a lot of money in an industry like this one, which I think is what makes it so exciting. You know, you're not working in what could be $1 million industry or $1 billion industry. It's like, no, seriously, there's so much that can be encompassed inside the phrase RWAs or inside the phrase tokenization, because it gets to kind of dip its toes into all these different major industries, some $100 billion industries, some $1 trillion industries. And that's what gets really exciting about it. And so there's all these different ways that we can look at it, but I've got to ask you, what is your favorite thing that you have ever seen tokenized so far?
So, I mean, there was the, the American Constitution, one of the copies of the Constitution was tokenized, which I think was a great use case. I mean, look, for us on Boson, this latest batch of like $5 million worth of art, with some of it, you know, from very well recognized, you know, artists and in you know, kind of major galleries, for us is a real sign of you know, the mainstreaming of this technology. I mean, there is actually one other asset that we're in the process of tokenizing, which is this like kind of $1 million asset, that, you know, that super luxury kind of legacy asset, which I'm under embargo and I can't mention. So that I'm probably getting trouble from marketing already, but we've got this kind of major thing that we're kind of working on. So if you ask me again in about 2 months time, well, hopefully by that time you'll already be very familiar, because it's going to be quite a big thing.
Yeah, well, I guess that just means we're going to have you back on here at some point in the not so distant future. But, you know, is there anything that you've seen that hasn't been tokenized yet or hasn't been introduced to tokenization that you think would be a great idea to tokenize?
I mean, I think that everything that can be, or I think all assets are going to be tokenized. Wow. And so, you know, the answer to that question is like everything. I think that blockchains are just, I think in 2 or 3 years time, it's going to be negligent. It's going to be viewed on as negligent to be transacting value in any other way than on a blockchain that is designed to do this kind of securely and transparently. Just like it would be deemed negligent to go and, you know, if you had a bank, to go and send an Uber driver to pick up a whole load of cash and take it to another bank, right? It's just the wrong technology to use.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, the answer to that question is I just think, you know, everything is going to go on chain, be digitally represented and tokenized, and that's how we're going to trade these things moving forward. It's a technology designed to do that.
I agree. Well, Justin, before we let you go, I got one more question for you. In a perfect world, how do you want, or I guess, where do you want to see Boson in 5 years from now?
Sure. I mean, look, our aim with Boson has been the same 5 years ago, and it's still the same now for where we want to be in 5 years. And that is to be this foundational protocol for tokenizing and trading any physical thing. So a bit like TCP/IP is the transfer protocol for data, we are that transfer protocol for commerce. And so, you know, with our product now complete and poised for mass adoption in this new bull market.
Awesome. Well, Justin, we really appreciate you coming on here, sharing all your knowledge and informing the masses about this great industry that is tokenization. So where can people follow you if they want to join along on the journey?
Well, they can come to our website, bosonprotocol.io, and on X at Boson Protocol, and we're also can join the community Telegram at the same handle.
Perfect. Well, Justin, once again, thank you so much for joining us, and I know the audience appreciated it.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Save big this holiday season. All in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up. Then get a flavorful Kroger spiral sliced ham for 89 cents a pound with an additional $25 purchase. Limit two, all with your card.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.